Our text for today comes from an Old Testament passage in 2 Kings. We're reading chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. For some of us, it's a familiar story. For others, it may be a new story. But the story is about God working through the life of a man named Naaman. We'll talk a little more about him, but know for now he was an honored and respected military leader. God decided to work through his life. I invite you to hear a text for today. It's printed in your order of worship. If you can follow along in your Bible, 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier. But he had leprosy. Now, bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive of a young girl from Israel, and she had served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," said the king of Aram, replying. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him. "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar and the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servant went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. May God bless the reading of this word this morning. I think it is so often true in our lives that when we consider God acting, God moving, God working, we think of extraordinary big events. Things come to mind like what we read about in the scriptures when God parted the waters and Israel was able to walk across dry land as they escaped from Egypt. We think about the text that Elizabeth read earlier for us when Moses stands in front of a bush that is somehow on fire but is not being consumed by the fire. We think about the miracles of Jesus as Robert prayed, a young boy who brings food and miraculously 5,000 or more people are fed. We think about the resurrection of Jesus when God does the seemingly impossible, removing someone from the grips of death, bringing them back to life, resurrected. We think of these extraordinary big kinds of things, and yes, our God does do that. The Bible is filled with these extraordinary events. But in our text for this morning, we have a different perspective. Our story today gives us a different understanding of how God often works in our lives. This passage tells us God not only works in big, extraordinary kinds of ways, but God also works in the ordinary experiences of everyday life. God works through the simple. God works through the ordinary. God works through the everyday. As we get to know Naaman in our text for today, we learn he is a Syrian general. He was a great man, honored and respected, as we said. He had many military exploits and adventures and was highly regarded. He was a hero to many people. But he had a big problem, and we read about it here in the text. He developed leprosy. This great military leader developed the dreaded disease of his day. He suffered from that which would make him a social outcast. Naaman did his best to try to hide his disease from everyone, but eventually it was discovered. People began to avoid him at all costs. His hope for the future began to vanish, and what he was looking at was a future where he would die utterly isolated from everyone else except those who had this same dreaded disease. But God worked in Naaman's life. But how God worked is simply amazing. What happened? Well, first, God worked through some ordinary, regular people. We read about in this text that there was a young servant girl. Many years earlier, she had been captured in a military battle conquest, and she had been brought back to Syria to serve Naaman's wife as a servant. She was a nobody in her culture. She was less than ordinary, if that was possible. But this ordinary young girl, she had a word of hope for this great military leader named Naaman. If only Naaman could go to Israel and see the prophet that she knew about, he would heal her. She dropped this suggestion to Naaman's wife, who then told her husband, and Naaman went to find the prophet. But notice, this message didn't come to Naaman from a king. This word of hope didn't come to him from a significant religious rabbi or minister. This word of hope did not come from a celebrated politician or political leader in his day. No, it was an ordinary young servant girl. This word of hope from God came in a very ordinary way. Later in the story, when Naaman has been told that he is to go wash in the River Jordan 7 times, he becomes very angry. We'll talk about that a little bit more, but now we see he was very angry. It was such a simple, ridiculous thing for him to do in the face of this dreaded disease. In fact, he was so upset about this with what the prophet said that he initially decided he wasn't going to do it. In other words, he said, "This is not what I expected." But once again, in the story, regular, ordinary servants persuade Naaman to try it, to do what the prophet had suggested. These ordinary servants, they cut through Naaman's pride. They encourage him to go to the river and to wash as the prophet had instructed. Again, these were not military leaders. They were not Naaman's trusted advisors. They were not his bosses or respected political leaders. No, these persuasive individuals were servants, very low on the social hierarchy. We have just journeyed through Advent and Christmas. And every year, as we hear the miraculous, wonderful good news that God became flesh through Jesus, every year as we hear that, we are reminded that the very first people who heard this wonderful, incredible news were shepherds, the lowest of the low in their society. It's true in our lives too. Every day, we meet ordinary people. People just like us. Just regular people. But people whom God is working through. That includes me and you. As we begin this new year, has the thought occurred to you, maybe God is choosing you right now to accomplish something significant for God's kingdom? To Naaman's credit, he listened. To Naaman's credit, he listened to the advice of a young servant girl. To Naaman's credit, he listened to the advice of his servant group. He believed that maybe, just maybe, God was speaking through them. What about us? Are we aware of? Are we open to the fact that every day we meet people through whom God is working? So maybe this week, the words of someone you cross paths with this week just might offer you words from the very voice of God. That is an incredible thought. Hugh Litchfield tells the story of the clown. He says that there was a particular community that was in an uproar. The clown was coming back. No one knew exactly who the clown was. They didn't know him by any name other than the clown. Seemingly, he was a circus dropout who just happened to come to their community. He had never been seen without his face paint, without his orange yarn hair, without his polka dot jumpsuit, without his big floppy shoes. He had just shown up in town one day, but he had changed their lives forever. For despite his ridiculous appearance, the clown offered them words of wisdom. See, the clown first appeared about 3 years earlier when the community had experienced a flood. The flood had literally swept away about half of the homes in this community. The flood had pushed the disaster relief agencies beyond their limits. And as time went on, the damage from the flood and the attempts at restoration caused friction and strife in this community. It divided them between the haves and the have-nots. And seemingly out of nowhere, the clown appeared. And the clown offered this community suggestions, ideas about how to go about restoring the health of the community, how to rebuild those homes that had been destroyed, how that the haves and the have-nots in their community could work together. He brought them wisdom. He brought them hope. But after he had been with them a very short time, the clown vanished just as quickly as he had appeared. But now, news was spreading quickly. The clown was returning. As he approached and saw the crowd gathered in welcome for him, the clown knew it was time for him to face them without his facade. So on that day, he stepped to the bandstand. He waved a silent greeting to those who were gathered that day, and he began to smear his face with cold cream. What is he doing? They thought. Why is he doing that? The clown, still silent, reached into his bag for a towel, and he began to wipe away the makeup and the face paint, to wipe away the face that they recognized as the clown. And suddenly, the whispering and the murmuring in the crowd stopped, and the crowd gasped collectively in surprise. John? John Jones? John Jones, who lives over on Elm Street? John is the clown? How could this be? With the makeup and the paint removed, John lifted the orange wig and he stepped to the microphone and he said, "It's really very simple. 3 years ago, would you have listened to John Jones from Elm Street?" They all knew the answer was no. They wouldn't listen to ordinary, regular John Jones who lived on Elm Street, who had grown up with them all of that time. They wouldn't listen to him, but they would listen to someone extraordinary. They would listen to the clown. Naaman's experience, it reminds us. God works through the ordinary. God works through the regular. God works through people like me and you every single day. And sometimes we might miss what God is doing if we look past the ordinary to try to find the extraordinary. But there's more. God also works through ordinary events, not just ordinary people, but also ordinary events. You remember when Naaman the prophet came to Elisha's home. He came with a great display of pomp and circumstance. Naaman came with horses and chariots and all those gifts that he had brought. Maybe Naaman believed that he could buy his healing. But here's what's interesting. The prophet Elisha never even left inside his home to come out to speak to Naaman. This great, respected military leader was just outside, and Elisha doesn't give him the respect to go outside and even speak to him. Instead, what does he do? He sends his servant, Gehazi, to go out and tell Naaman what it is he is to do. And Gehazi says, "Go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times. Well, as we said, Naaman was furious. He expected some elaborate ritual. He expected some special task. He expected some extraordinary event to happen. He did not expect a servant to come out with the message. He did not expect to be told to perform a simple, ordinary, everyday task of bathing and washing in the river. So he leaves frustrated and angry, saying something about how he had better rivers in Syria than the Jordan River. He could just go wash there. But again, the servants challenged him. And you remember what they said? They said to him, "If the prophet had told you to do some great thing, if he had told you to do something extraordinary, wouldn't you have done it? How much more then should you do something simple and ordinary like wash in the river?" And again, to his credit, Naaman listened and he agreed to do what the prophet had suggested that he do. He followed the ordinary advice and Naaman was healed. It was not an extraordinary act. It was a very simple one. God worked through this ordinary event of washing in a river to bring about the extraordinary healing in Naaman's life. Don't miss this. Sometimes God is not in the earthquake. Sometimes God is not in the strong winds. Sometimes God is not in the loud clashing thunder. Sometimes God is in the very ordinary events of life. We are not very different from Naaman, are we? We often look for God in miraculous healings, in the ending of political wars and strife, in the curtailing of a worldwide pandemic, or in tearing down long-standing political obstacles to peace. What this passage calls us to remember is that God does indeed work in those ways, yes, but God also often works and the not-so-spectacular occasions of life. God might deal with us through ordinary events, like reading through the Bible, like praying, like going for a walk, like a conversation with a friend. God works through the ordinary events of our lives, like giving water to someone who is thirsty, helping someone who is hungry, providing a place to stay for those who have no refuge. God works for us as Christians every day in our lives. God acts among us, and often God does so in very ordinary ways. God even works through ordinary acts of obedience. Here was the heart of the matter. Would rich, powerful, respected Naaman, would he do what Elisha's servant commanded him to do? Would he trust that word? Would he simply obey? He did. Naaman humbled himself, and he went and washed 7 times in the Jordan River. And through that ordinary act of obedience, Naaman was healed. I would suggest on the second Sunday of a new year, God wants to work through similar acts of obedience in our lives today. In this new year, will we do what God asks of us? Will we be obedient as Naaman was in this text? Will we love one another? Will we worship? Will we pray? Will we witness? Will we be peacemakers? Will we turn the other cheek? Will we trust God enough to follow the way that is before us? Will we obey? It's hard to do that sometimes. We often rebel. But in this text, we are called to remember that simple acts of obedience, through those simple acts, God can speak to us, God can renew us, God can change us, God can heal us. I read about a young man who wanted to find God. So he went into this large, beautiful cathedral. For he believed, he expected that through the spacious dome with the beautiful windows that were there, the stained glass windows with the glittering lights from the mosaics inside, with all of these beautiful, wonderful things, he would truly experience God. So filled with hopeful expectation about extraordinary meeting with God, the young man entered the sanctuary, the cathedral. He found a pew. He sat down and he placed his head on the pew in front of him and just rested, waiting to meet God. Several minutes later, the young man felt a tap on his shoulder. Looking up, he saw an elderly woman. "Are you hungry?" she asked. "If you're hungry, I could give you a few dollars so you could get something to eat." Realizing the risk this woman had taken and the simple, ordinary love that prompted her statement, the young man thanked her but assured her that he was okay. Several minutes later, he left the beautiful cathedral knowing he had truly experienced God, but not in the spacious dome and not in the beautiful windows and not in the mosaics, but he experienced God in the tap, the simple statement, the simple, ordinary words from an elderly stranger. Sometimes God acts in extraordinary ways in our lives. It's true, it happens. But most often, in fact, more often than not, it is in the normal course of everyday life that God acts. God acts through the ordinary. Ordinary people, ordinary events, ordinary acts of obedience. So in this new year, where are you looking for God? In this new year, where are you expecting to see God, to hear God, to find God? Maybe we look for God in the simple, ordinary things around us every day. Maybe we are being prompted to look for God in ways we would never expect God to be working in our lives. Because our God does extraordinary things, often in very ordinary ways. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we are grateful for stories of people like Naaman who are expecting the extraordinary but experienced your love and your grace and your healing and your mercy in very ordinary, everyday ways. God, as we continue to begin our course through life in this new year, help us, encourage us, prompt us to keep our eyes open, our ears open, and especially our hearts open for the ordinary and extraordinary ways you are working. Lead us and guide us in these ways, for we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.